Sir, she said. The Hutts placed a homing beacon in the Auriga fire.
You knew about that before you left Hutta. I seem to recall reading about that somewhere.
That's correct, sir. This had all been in her report, and was no doubt in numerous other reports about the incident, but she let no sign of impatience slip through her guard. If he wanted to hear it from her face to face, so be it. He was the supreme commander, after all. We thought the beacon left with Jet Nebula, but it later turned up in the capsule he used to expel Envoy V.E.
This Jet Nebula, is he a real person?
Yes, sir. His parents had a strange sense of humor, he says.
What? Yes?
An aide had pressed a datapad in front of him. His left index finger stabbed at something on the screen.
That one, of course. Was the Sabarish herself present in her expedition to Sabaddon?
No, sir. She placed someone else in charge, a deputy called Sigrillo.
He's the one who claimed ownership of the planet and declared the remaining joint forces trespassers.
Yes, sir. At the time, he outgunned us. His mistress was taking no chances. The tips of the Supreme Commander's fingers joined to form a triangle in front of him.
I can imagine his surprise when your reinforcements turned up.
Not just our reinforcements, she wanted to say, but the Imperials as well.
It had only been a matter of time before everyone else arrived. The universe's usual freakish sense of humor had ensured that they all came more or less simultaneously. She remembered those stressful hours very well, even though she hadn't been on the bridge with the senior officers and the negotiators. She had been down in the crew hold, exchanging stories with Hetchke and Jop and the others who had survived the ground assault. They had stopped to watch through the viewports as ships flashed in and out of hyperspace around the black hole. There had been several clashes, leaving wreckage to spin helplessly into the impossibly steep gravity well, and several outlier ships had fallen afoul of the jets themselves. They had waited with minds and bodies poisoned by exhaustion for the call to arms, as it surely had to come. The Republic ships left over from the original mission were going to be pulled in eventually, and every available trooper would be desperately needed. Then suddenly, it had been all behind her. The Commoner had jumped to hyperspace, leaving fresh ships and their commanders to sort out the mess. And that was the last she had seen of Sabaddon and its hexes. Every scrap of data from the campaign had been erased, by some kind of exotic electromagnetic pulse, she had been told. All that remained were confused recollections and reports like the ones she had filed on returning. Very few of them mentioned Dow Stryver. During the confusion, the Mandalorian had disappeared, as though into the depths of the black hole itself, never to be seen since.
Do you believe Captain Pippoliti acted responsibly in the ensuing confrontation?
Stantors asked her. Lorin chose her words with care. The matter of a reenlistment and promotion was still very much undecided, and she didn't want to jeopardize any chances that might remain.
I think she did her best in a difficult situation, sir. No one could fault her for that.
The service asks of us not our best, but the best possible. Is that what Captain Pippoliti offered?
It was the same question in different words, and Stantors didn't strike Lorin as a being who repeated himself very often.
I believe so, sir. Every installation on the planet was in flames. All our troops had been evacuated. The mission had already cost the Republic more resources.